my mind goes in strange directions when I start thinking about things. And all I can think about was the Beatles. And the next song on that, by the way, is I Get a Little Help from My Friends. And I Get a Little High with My Friends and all that goes with it. Some of the things that I've remembered over the years. Today is a day to remember and to reminisce. So much has happened to all of us and each of us and as a church over the last 20 years. And it was 20 years ago today that I walked onto the campus of Woodland Chapel. So much has happened within us and through us. So I'd like to take a little time to remember in your life, God is the most intimate participant in all the affairs of your life. Your spouse, your family, your siblings are not as intimate to your life as God is. So I want to take a walk down memory lane today, and the old spiritual goes like this: nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And of course, that's true. Nobody knows the sadness, the bad mistakes, the crippling losses, the sins we commit, or the ones that we face right now. Nobody as well knows the joys, the great times, the precious people, the moments in our lives when we were in heaven on earth, or when we were that beautiful woman, or that strong, handsome man that we have known was hiding inside of us. And I've come to realize I'm just half the man I used to be. Nobody knows. Nobody knows but you, but I, for my life, and nobody knows but you in your life. I have a couple of scriptures in the bulletin I'd like for us to read together. They come out of Exodus and Deuteronomy. I've kind of run them together here. And I would just like for us to read them as just straight through. And we'll start with the Exodus passage. Here we go. And Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. And you shall tell your son on that day, 'It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.' And it shall be to you as a sign on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you with great and goodly cities which you did not build, then take heed lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and swear by his name. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And you should do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you, and that you may go in and take possession of the good land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers." I wanted you to read those words because God touched the minds and hearts of the people of Israel as they came out of Egypt, which has always been a picture of the world. And there's a certain sense which we all come out of the world and come into relationship with God. And so he's talking about that, and he says, remember. Remember what God has done for you. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, remember. Remember what God has done for you. One of the ways that we get to know one another is listening to one another tell about their past. When I listen to you tell me about your past, whether it's good or bad, I come to know you better. By remembering the mighty acts of God and the grace of Jesus, we come to know our Creator, our Father, our Savior, and our Lord better. When I remember you, it means that I have carried something of who you are with me. It means that you have left some mark of you and who you are on me. It means that if you move away and you move back or come back, I will know you. When I remember you, it means that even if you die before me, I can still see your face and hear your voice. And you can still speak to my heart. It also means that if we remember, we have survived at least one more day. One of the great tragedies of life is Alzheimer's disease. People who suffer from it can't remember. I suffer from old-timer's disease, which is I can't remember where I left my keys, or actually where I placed my Bible study on Abraham. So I want us to remember together. And as I said, one of the ways that I get to know you is as you tell me things about your life, things that have happened to you. And one of the ways you get to know me is as I tell you things that have happened to me. And since what makes today a little bit different from any other Sunday is that it is the anniversary of my beginning here in Decatur of ministry on July 15, 1998. So let me share with you a few memories about our life together. I went to college and graduated in chemistry and physics, but God got a hold of me, and I went to seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, and graduated from there in 1972 in the heat of the Vietnam War. Half the people in seminary were there dodging the draft and had no intention of going into the ministry. They're just trying to stay out of the army. I spent 3 years in East Tennessee, and in 1975, I began a 23-year ministry in Madisonville, Kentucky, where I wrote The Great Banquet in 1990. After 23 years there, I gave my last morning message on July 12th, 1998, and it was entitled, The End. Rather appropriate, actually. On Wednesday, July 15th, which was right after that, July 12th, I began my pastorate here in Decatur at Woodland Chapel. It was a Wednesday. I moved into the parsonage and I slept on the floor because Bert and my son John didn't show up for a couple weeks because John needed to go to a Metallica concert before coming up here. The first things that I noticed about Woodland Chapel is that the Christian education wing of the church smelled like mold, and all the lights were very low voltage. So one of the first things I did was I changed all the lights to higher watts and planned to make sure that the CE wing was painted. Part of my job is illumination. So I raised the light in that place. It was obviously that the CE wing was not being used because there was no Sunday school. My first Sunday in Decatur was July 19th, and the title of that day was Don't Look Back. Although I was wondering if God had put me on a shelf or had taken me out to the woodshed, actually. The title that day was Don't Look Back, but I was regretting what I had left, and I was wondering what I had walked into. First Sunday there was 137 people in church, checking out the new guy, I guess. 2 weeks later, there was about 75 there, so not as many as are here this morning. So I guess they checked me out and said, well, I'm not coming back for a while. Anyway, at least 50 or 60 of them thought that. I had come telling them that we would be doing the great banquet because they weren't going to get the man if they didn't take the work that went with him. They agreed. They wanted somebody who was warm, actually, I think, pretty much at that time. They were suffering from deprivation thinking, which was, how are we going to survive as a church? Because they weren't in very good shape. And there was no abundant thinking, which is, what can we do? They were just wondering how they could survive. So that fall, I sent 30 officers and their spouses to either Kentucky or Indiana to experience the great banquet. And when they got back, I asked them, now, are we going to do this thing or not? They said, yes. So I spent all the money that they had saved up, which was about $75,000, and then I put them in debt for another $50,000 to reconstruct the facilities to get the banquet started. And they finished the showers on Wednesday before the men's number one great banquet in May of 1999. If it hadn't been finished, all those guys would have stunk to high heaven. And as they say, the rest is history. I began new church development at that point in time because that's what was required. We started a contemporary service at 11 o'clock with about 15 people. My son John was the guitarist. We had no Sunday school class to speak of, so it was easy to start a service, and we had about 15 people. I buried 9 people in the first 4 months that I was there, and I thought to myself that this church had about 2 years left in it before they all expired at this rate. You just think about 9 in 4 or 5 months. I just put my head down and I went to work. And I followed the model of Nehemiah's rebuilding of Jerusalem, because you can read the Bible as autobiography and you can actually apply it. So that's what I did. The church grew in numbers and spiritual depth, and the contemporary service filled the sanctuary. And finally, we had to go to 3 services, and the Sunday school came to life. We ended up with 2 Sunday school classes over in the manse where I was living. That didn't sit very well with me because I got tired of cleaning the house on Saturday night. And doing 3 services is hard on anybody, I'm here to tell you. We outgrew the place. We started the process of finding a path into a larger facility. And we finally ended up playing Monopoly with Glad Tidings. They got St. James Avenue, which was the Woodland property, and $1.5 million. We got Pacific Avenue right here. They got Boardwalk, which is where they are now. I remember the vote to move. It was not an easy time for me. The church lost about 75 members over the move. I was the good guy, but I was also the bad guy. And it depended on who you talk to. But the fact of the matter, I was just the guy. We moved here, and it was as if this church was built for what we do, and that Glad Tidings had been occupying it, the place, until the right time. In the midst of all this time, I have taken tours in many of your lives, and there have been good times and bad times in sickness and in health, and death, and new life, and new relationships. And it's just kind of like a marriage, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, in joy and in sorrow, we have been together. For some of you, I've been your midwife or surrogate father as I watched you be birthed by the Holy Spirit and become a follower of Jesus. I have participated with you in the faith, even as I have grown in the faith myself. I have also watched some of you as you let your faith go to sleep and allow your relationship with Jesus to become just a shadow of its original power. I remember. My memories, your memories, our memories together, as we look at the past, we remember. And God said, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget what I have done for you. Don't forget the grace that I've shown to you. So let us remember what Jesus has done for us, whether it's a lot of years or whether it might have just been a year or so or maybe just a couple of months. Let us remember once again the way that Jesus has loved us and how Father God has provided for us. Let's remember those times in our lives when we were standing at death's door and those times when we have been to the mountain. Let us remember good friends, good times. As we remember, let us look to the future too. Let us link the past to the future. Memory, expectation. Remember and hope and wait. To have faith is to remember and to look to the future. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, one of the thieves said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingly power." And that's my prayer, and I hope it's yours. Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingly power. The past is your witness. The present is where we live. And until I say a few good words over you, or somebody says some good words over me besides today, you're not done yet. And in the words of Bob Hope, thanks for the memories. Let's pray. Lord, in the midst of life, we experience life, and we experience life together. I thank you for the times that we've had together and for the grace that you have shown to us over the years, to us as a church, to us as individuals and families, to myself as well. In Jesus' name, amen.